Yo, you tuned in to Gorilla Cross Radio.
Broadcasting live from downtown Las Vegas, you're tuned in to Gorilla Cross Radio.
Yo, West Coast Wednesday. What it do? What it do? It's a Wednesday. It's me. Mo. No Mel. We don't know where she is.
She's in quarantine.
That's what it is. And it was very nice outside today, too.
It was.
In quarantine. But anyway, you're into Girl Chat Sports with Mo and Mel. But this time, it's Mo and Dre, because I have a guest co-host tonight.
What it do?
I'm so excited to have this gentleman on. I just learned a few little factoids about him prior to us starting the show. I have to formally apologize, because if you guys had seen some posts me promoting the show, there was a pic of Dre I used, and I utilized it from last night. He wasn't a fan of it, so I had to change it.
Well, you know.
He's such a diva. I wrote him saying that, and I'm gonna say Devo. I guess that's the
Devo.
Devo, yeah, not Devo. Devo, but anyway, he's here. I'm excited to have him. Yeah. I really appreciate it. We are also joined by a very special guest. One of my homies. Like, you know, I usually don't get too many of my friends on. I'll get my brothers on. I'll get some, you know, relatives kind of pop through there. But I actually have one of my good homeboys. I'll say. That's the right nomenclature, right? Homeboys, friends. Yeah. My guy from UNLV, he is the PGA Golf Management Program. He's instructor. He's also the assistant director and program coordinator, Mr. Kendall Murphy. Golf aficionado. I'm just going to put that out there.
Can we get a round of applause?
Yeah, we have to, because, I mean, the guy is all time. And we'll get into that in just a moment, but I want to talk a little bit about some Vegas sports first. I know you guys are into the Vegas sports. I want to chat about these nights real quick, because I have something to vent off my chest.
BGK.
Yeah, and I made a post about it last night, and I'm really, really tight about it. But guys, if you're out there, if you're watching us live real quick, go ahead and share. Sharing is caring. Give us a shout out. Call us if you'd like. 702-608-3259. That is the number. And let me know what you think about this little thing I want to bring up. So, first and foremost, I want to send my condolences out to one of the season ticket holders, to the family, friends, and the players, because they lost a loyal VGK Fortress Hulkamaniac named John Barata. Yeah, he was known for ripping his T-shirts, and he'd be on the little Quantron, the Nitron. I want to call it Quantron, because Quan's a fan, too, but the Nitron. Yeah. Shout out to Quan over there.
I bet you he wish it was called Quan.
He probably does. He probably does. But anyway, he unfortunately passed away this past Monday. Excuse me. And so,
huge fan.
They had a seat dedicated to him. They posted it and everything. So, like again, prayers and condolences go out to everyone for that. But the Knights did make up for. I feel like they had an angel last night, because they won. And I just hear crickets lately from the VGK fans since January, when they were all tight and upset about Gallant being let go. And how dare we bring this new coach in that has, aside from the 1st of March when they lost to the Kings, where they won eight matches straight in a row. And they're number one in the Pacific West now.
Well, you know how Vegas fans get.
That's my beef. Vegas fans.
It's ridiculous.
If you do not like, this is the thing. They settle on mediocrity. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm a Lakers fan. I'm a Dodgers fan. I'm a Raiders fan. No judgment, but they have some play like mediocrity, but I'm never satisfied with us not winning. These fans seem to be settled when they're not winning and when their players aren't performing. They all just go for the lights of the show and the entertainment. Is that what we're doing?
I want to be a fair weather fan. Hey, let me tell you something, man.
Tell me about
Vegas.
This. What's going on?
Fair weather fans is something else, bros. When UNLV Running Rebels was at the top of his game, you could not get a ticket for that place.
That's a case in point. That's a good case in point.
Could not get a ticket.
You can take
now you can sit next to the head coach.
Literally. You could be right in the
You can
the
get
office.
In the game sometime. It might just be able to play.
Dude, I walked in. They thought I was Wale and let me in.
Really?
They didn't know that Wale was like 5'5".
But they just assumed.
Foot. Yeah, and they just let me in. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah. And you sat courtside, too. Pretty much.
I sat close.
You know, pretty
like
much.
The fifth row.
Yeah.
They wanted him to cut his dreads, though, to get in.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That bothers me, too, about Vegas. We're getting the Raiders. We have BGK here.
Right.
At some point, Vegas will be a sports town. We're going to have a baseball team.
Yeah.
And whether my kid, you know, when my son grows to be 43, they may have a basketball team. And with that being said, we can't only support our teams when they're winning, man.
Right.
Look at the Clippers. They've been trash for years.
Right. Look at the Raiders. We've been trash for years, and you can't get no loyal in a Raiders fan, I feel
That's very true.
We hang in there.
That's very
because
true.
We look for the hopes of winning. But if you have a born and raised hockey team here that went to the Stanley Cup Finals the first time, didn't make it the past season, but have a chance to go further into the playoffs with a new coach, new goalie that he calls as his starting goalie. Shout out to him, too, because he had 27 saves last night. Shout out. Donuts for everyone. Shout out to him. I think it's Leonard is his name. Robert Leonard.
You give me a
Robin Leonard. Yeah, that's what it is. But he had 27 saves last night. So his strategy, this new coach, is not only Fleury is the starting goalie, but we also have Robin now as the starting goalie. And I'm going to alternate. And we're just going to play like that. So this guy is bringing it. One loss from March 1st. They were on an 8-game winning streak.
But how's the attendance? Is there a lot of people?
18,000 last night. 18,000. It's a 17,500 capacity in T-Mobile. 18,000 because they do those standing seats now.
Okay.
They were sold out last night.
I was going to say, you definitely let the fire marshal know that they were out of code.
Well,
it was online. 17,500.
It was online.
Yikes.
It was online.
Well, they need to holler at their online person.
It was online.
You're allowed to have a standing room.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, but you still you know I want to tell person stay a little the 200 or 300 away from the capacity.
So
piece.
Dare I say it should just have been a sold out. It was sold out to capacity. Yes. People to the wall.
That's it.
Sports balls to the wall.
That's it. That is it. That's it.
Yeah. So he said he's the type of coach that likes to switch it up. He says, I like to switch it up. I like to just see what we can do, and it's been successful. But crickets from everybody that. Bash this guy.
And real quick, the problem with not even the problem, the thing with the Vegas Knights fans is a lot of the fans and a lot of the fans that were complaining about the coach getting fired are fans. This is the first time they've ever been a fan of a team where they've invested themselves into a team. So they take it a lot more personal than maybe we all do, knowing that a coach could be there and do great for 5 years in a row and then have one bad year and be gone. So
to your point,
this new fan base getting to know like the sports business side of you know, ice hockey and professional sports in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make a great point with that. I was going to touch on that, too, that you have people that have first now. This is their first involvement of actually having a pro team they can get behind. A lot of women, if you will. Don't follow basketball. They don't follow any of the other sports. So they probably were like not very reactive. And I know some of them were. Shout out to that BGK ladies group. I put them on blast. But, you know, you have fans that, you know, express concern because they just don't. They don't know.
And they're not used to,
used to that.
Having a team.
Right.
But if you support your local teams before BGK even got here, whether you were a hockey or baseball or basketball, whatever, go just support your local sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Learn how to get behind a team.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, we've got our other local team, USL Soccer, the Lights. They start their first season opener this Saturday. It's going to be a road game, though.
I haven't made it out to a game yet.
You've got to go.
You've got to go.
They're playing this new franchise expansion team, San Diego Loyal.
Okay.
So that'll going to be their first road game. And then they play, they have a home game of the season opener March 14th against Sacramento. But they're also doing something that's pretty dope. Every home match, and I'm just going to hold up my jersey real quick.
Oh, here we go.
This is my one signed by Tommy Olsen. Shout out to Tommy Olsen, goalkeeper for the Lights. Every home game, they're going to change their jerseys. So they had a contest where people could design the jerseys for the team.
Oh, that's dope.
And they're going to wear each specific different jersey. Now, they're still taking design options. So you can still go on to the Lights FC website, get a jersey design, because now they've rolled out a program because they're going to have a midnight game July 11th. It actually starts at 11. Mm. So I won't say midnight. Their halftime will probably be at midnight, but there's going to be a show there. But they're playing the Reno FC team, and nice. They want a jersey design that's something mean and harsh to Reno. Mm. So get out there, get your pen and paper ready, figure out something.
What's the incentive? Are they giving away a couple of tickets?
I know season ticket members are receiving like their free home jersey.
Okay.
The rest of the jerseys that they're going to do for the home season, all those different jerseys are $99.
Yeah.
So if you're not a season ticket holder, you'll have to pay the $99.
Cause that's pretty huge to design.
Oh yeah.
Something.
And get that kind of credit for it. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Interesting.
So I feel like, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's we got the Lights. They just signed an El Salvadorian player, Junior Burgos. So welcome to that. They also signed another goalkeeper. Welcome as well. And WNBA. Mm. Let's get into it with the Aces. Have you been to an Aces game yet, Kendall?
I have, unfortunately.
That is terrible.
You've been
courtside at Aces game.
So has Melissa. I've seen her courtside, you know, media. And I'm like,
yeah,
wait a minute.
We both have.
All right. I'm like, okay. I see
you. Of course. We love our Aces.
I see you.
We're there.
But, you know,
we're
when
all about it.
When Goose and I went and we sat courtside, I said, I don't want to sit in any other seat from now on. So I'm spoiled, jaded, whatever type
so
of word you
want to
use.
So you have to reach out and get media or something, or just pay that ticket.
I'm just
going to
pay.
I'm not worried about
paying for the ticket.
All right,
we
want
to support. Well, it ain't balling. It's just supporting your local team,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think that's one thing that we do a lot too much is looking for a hookup. I don't need a hookup, man. Just tell me how much the tickets are. I got you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to support the team.
For sure. So they re-signed Lindsey Allen, who didn't play last season.
Yeah.
So that's a new move.
Right.
And then they've got Liz Cambage still not signed yet. She's free agent. She hasn't been signed.
Well, that's because she's still arguing about fouls from last year.
Oh, is that what it is?
You're yikes. Just
wow.
We need to, though. I think we need that presence. We need that presence in the middle. And
we do.
She makes a difference. I mean,
so they've already spent $848,000 of their salary cap. I think they were budgeted $1.2 million. So there's still some wiggle room around to get her. Ty Young hasn't been signed yet either. She's restricted free agent. So 33 years old, she might be calling it. I mean, I follow her on the gram. Ty Young, if you're out there, let us know.
She does a lot of modeling. And
she
does. And you know, she's really fly with her kicks and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure that after WNBA,
she's going to be straight.
Most definitely.
She's going to be straight.
Most definitely.
So, shout out to the LV Aces fan page, because they had posted their salaries for the upcoming 2021 season. Asia Wilson is $57,000, I believe.
You know,
a couple of them are.
I can't
Kelsey
wait.
Plum, 68.
I know they made huge strides
and
steps towards getting to this point, but I can't wait to where the salary cap is a little higher.
Well, it is if you play a tenure. Like, some of them are six figures that are on the team. You've got a few.
Yeah,
that are
but I'm
six
talking
figures.
About like maybe 20 or 30.
Oh yeah, I get it.
Right,
I get it.
And you know, some of these, you know, women can actually reap the benefits of what they've been working so hard for. They work just as hard as men do. Like they have AAU,
absolutely,
junior summer NBA junior summer league for women, and they go just as hard.
They do, but here's the deal. The league.
Yeah.
They don't have any money. They have not been in the black yet. Our team alone has lost $4 million just last season.
Well, maybe some of these NBA players or some of these NBA teams need to say, you know what? You know, since Kobe Bryant was so really big into the WNBA and women's basketball.
Let's do something.
Maybe do something in his honor to where each NBA player who wants to donate to that Kobe Bryant WNBA fund can put, like, you know, maybe $1.5 million away of your salary for that year to help women's basketball. Let's be honest, his daughter had dreams of you know, playing in the WNBA, and so if you want to honor somebody in a greater way, why not something like that?
Hey,
no, not if you donate. If I'm a millionaire, I can donate to whatever.
But here's the other thing, too. This is just the money, monetary. The benefits exceed that because of the new collective bargaining agreement where they are getting, like, their benefits and that kind of thing. So this is just straight on the salary table.
Right.
But I love it. So we also have another friend of mine popping in. I'm just feeling the love of my guys showing up for me since Mel is quarantined out there. Shout out to Mel, Queen of the Pacific Northwest. my boy D is here, so and he did me a solid by putting, he's from Chicago.
Okay.
So I'll he put on the deal. Chicago Bulls and it's green and stuff for Mel. I mean, that was nice of you. You know, I prefer the purple and gold, but you know, I'm not gonna be mad. I'm not
this
gonna be
is
mad.
Really for the pine green Jordan ones that just came out.
Oh yeah.
The ones that were just sold out all over the place. I get it.
Nah. But you can get them on the goat.
Yeah. You can get them on the
extra.
Goat.
Yeah.
If you got them young chip you daddies.
Yeah. And I saw them. No lie.
I got
just
the raffle. I got the raffle on them. So I got.
He, okay. Stop being stretches your plug. Like he showed them off to me too. He got them and then he was like, "Tell your nephew you don't need to get them from him."
And
no
you
word.
Looked at them. Yeah.
I did look at them. They're pretty. Nordstrom had them. Sold out. Didn't know.
Really.
Because I could have got my discount.
And you could have told me.
And I could have told a few other people, but I didn't know. There's a secret way to get into those when they have those exclusive. Like, we sell Yeezys, too, and there's a way. I just don't. I have to crack the code. I just realized that. But I digress. I want to get into our guest.
Yes.
Just a little bit. Mr. Kendall Murphy. How we doing over there?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having
me. Yeah,
I
appreciate it. So I want you to just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're originally from, what migrated you to Vegas. What got you into the position you're in right now? That's a lot. I know. Just give us the cliff notes. You don't have to go full resume.
No, I'll give you the 30,000 foot view of it all. Born and raised Oakland, California.
Oakland? You a Raiders fan?
Born and raised a Raiders fan. Born
okay.
And raised
yes.
A Warriors
that's what I'm talking
fan.
About.
Born and raised an Oakland A's fan. It sounds like a Sharks fan. I'm a Bay Area guy.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a sad day when the Raiders started to come to Vegas, but it's all.
Are you going
to
be a fan?
That's a little bit of hesitation right there.
I will be a fan of the players. The ownership I'm not so happy with, but I'll be a fan of the players.
They still Oakland.
It's Oakland to me.
And then LA still thinks they LA.
That's what it is. They're a California team.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. So born and raised, moved out here in 2008 to go to undergrad at UNLV. Graduated, all that good stuff. Moved to Colorado for a few years. Ran the Broadmoor and Colorado Springs.
So you were into golf prior, like during your college tenure then. That's where you got the love
college,
of it, or you were always liking golf?
Yeah, no, I got into golf when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, my mom put me into it when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And
Shouts out to mom.
Fell in love with it from there. We realized that that's a quick way to get a scholarship to college.
Wow.
You know, when you get decent at it. So got pretty decent at it. Wound up getting me to college. That was a blessing. Spent a half a year at Hampton University.
Okay. Shout out to the HBCU.
Shout out to my HBCU. Yeah. The Pirates out
there. Virginia, right?
The real HU. Yeah,
the Hampton. Real. Hold on.
Hampton University.
You took it right on. I was about to say the real HU because Howard University.
Right,
it's and
not
Hampton
they,
University.
They but
they got
on that.
This
they have a beef with
huge
that.
Rivalry.
There's a huge rival on that. Hampton DJ University. Emmy will go in about, yes, the first one. I get
yeah,
it. Yeah, I know
they,
it.
They are the first.
Yeah, they go into it.
We don't even know what's going on in D.C.
That's dope. That's
they,
dope.
Say what's happening in Hampton, Virginia right now. then transferred out here to UNLV, did all that good stuff. Got into golf, stayed in the golf industry, running golf courses and all that kind of stuff. Went to work for the PGA of America, which is, if you don't know, that's the governing body of golf.
Okay.
So I went and worked for them doing some financial stuff, helping different people make more money for their golf courses and just trying to help people out in that capacity. Got the call from UNLV in 2012 to come back to the university to start teaching and paint it all forward again. And, you know, that was my calling, was to teach and be an educator. So couldn't turn down that phone call I got from the directors and the dean of the college.
Dope.
And what is that we're teaching over at UNLV? What's the course entitled?
So right now I'm the assistant director, program coordinator for the PGA Golf Management University program, which is within the Hospitality College at UNLV, which, let me throw a famous plug out to Hospitality. We are the second year in a row of the Hospitality College at UNLV is the number one program in the country and the number two program in the world for what we do in hospitality.
Right.
So it's a definite honor to be within that group of colleagues in that environment. So I teach within that environment. I teach golf classes, or the management side of golf, how to run golf courses, biomechanics, kinesiology type classes, which is how the body moves and that kind of stuff like that. And then I also dive into some of the hospitality stuff too. Facilities management, which is like basic engineering class, how to run, turn lights on, that kind of stuff. How to help you run your hotel, basically.
I love it. And you were just recognized and awarded for the 2019 PGA Professional of the Year of Southern Nevada Chapter of the Southwest Section PGA.
Yeah, for the second year in a row, actually.
Second year in a row. I do have that. That is amazing. And in the past, you were the 2018 Rebel Pride Golf Professional of the Year.
That's basically the
alumni. That's black excellence. That's like, this is just the dopest thing. I have to clap because...
That is, bros, because I never even knew that that type of program even existed at UNLV. Right. And these are the type of things that, like, you're an unsung hero here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And so these are the type of things that Vegas really needs to stand behind. So that's dope, bros. That's super dope.
No, I definitely tell you.
How many brothers is doing what you're doing?
In my type of role, zero. I'm the only one. But... You know, one of the main things that drives me is diversity and inclusion. I'm sure we'll dive into that later on.
Yeah,
but
we're gonna talk about
one of the main things that drives me is diversity and inclusion and growing the game and making it easier than it was for my path to get to where I am. So I'm actively out there in the communities and talking to different individuals and different junior golf tours, trying to get the next, you know, the next best thing to be able to run golf facilities or to come back and teach at a university. Or do that kind of stuff. I mean, there's plenty of African Americans, just speaking of African Americans, that are in the PGA of America that are doing good things. But there can be so many more of us that are recognized and that are being able to get these top level jobs at different country clubs around the country that may or may not be looking at. So, you know, my goal is to use my platform that I have. So I'm blessed to be able to speak to CEO of the PGA of America, be able to speak to different CEOs of different companies, whether it be American Express or whatever it is, and speak to them candidly. So I use that platform to make sure I lift up everybody else. And, you know, it's not about me. It's about the next generation and us making sure that we can have somebody to take care of us and to tell our stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well,
you mentioned the country clubs. Now, isn't that like one of those things that's hard for us to get into?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the diversity and inclusion of like minorities. And we were talking earlier before the show started as far as how certain country clubs, like the famous Augusta, where the Masters is always pretty much held, how African Americans were not allowed to be members of the club until it was recognized in 1990. Mm-hmm. And Kendall was mentioning how it could have been previous to that, but there's disclosure kind of things that we may not have known. But we do know that Condoleezza Rice was the first female allowed membership at Augusta in 2012.
Look at a company that Condoleezza Rice had.
Still, but 2012 for women to be members of this.
But the company.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, she's been around, you know, presidents.
Right.
And, you know, when you have. You know, when you can put a president on your resume, let's just be honest. Like you could put a real life living president on your resume and they actually vouch for you.
But how many other corporate women are vetted women that can get vetted to be in prior to that? Like you had even you even had professional women golfer players and they couldn't be members of really? Like I just found that very strange. Yeah. Now you've played at several courses in Vegas.
Oh yeah,
Shadow Creek.
Oh yeah,
Legends.
All of them.
Mooney.
Yeah. All of them. Yeah.
Lakes. Angel Park. Angel.
You name all it, I played it. Yeah.
So what's your favorite one?
Shadow Creek, sure.
Shadow Creek is the best one,
hands down. Shadow Creek.
Okay.
And you know my story on Shadow Creek is probably interesting because of the company I'm able to keep at Shadow Creek. That's one of the facilities where I'm able to go out there and play with other bros that look like me. You know, like the Michael Jordans, like the Scottie Pippins, these guys that come into town and they're able to bring me out to the play with them. So, you know, selfishly, I love it because just the company I can keep out there. I'm having a great time and we're isolated from the world when we're out there.
Is this the one off of Losey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
You can't even see it.
And then they have that Paiute one. I've seen that Paiute
out there.
That's kind of out there. Yeah, north.
Paiute north.
But Shadow Creek is your one.
Shadow Creek is my one. It's my one. It'll probably go Shadow Creek, Southern Highlands Golf Club, number two, and then probably trying to keep it, probably go to Cascada, you know, be number three for me. So I pretty much hit every single corner of Vegas, you know.
Does Jordan still do his tournament up there?
That tournament got shifted. The tournament still happens, but now it's Derek Jeter's. Mm-hmm. So it's still Jordan Brand.
Okay.
Because Jeter's still one of Jordan's athletes.
Yeah, for sure.
But Jordan took his name away, his you know, his likeness away from it, and he shifted that to Derek Jeter. So it's still run by a Jordan Foundation, but it's Jeter's name on. So it's a Derek Jeter Invitational now.
Nice.
Let me ask you a myth question about that Michael Jordan. I've heard that he has a golf cart that has music on it that is so loud that they had to tell him, you got to turn it down a little bit, G. Is that true? Can you answer that?
What I would say is that he does have a private golf car out there.
Okay.
That is customized for Michael Jordan, and you know when he's on property.
Okay. That answers it.
Right there.
That answers it.
It's so dope to me. I'm sorry.
You got Jumpman all over it.
It is. It's baby blue.
You know what I'm saying?
Carolina blue with 23 on the side and Jordan logo on the front.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's up. you know he there though. You know he's on property.
Yeah. And you know when Michael Jordan's on property.
And it's totally exclusive to, like, no other members can play when he plays, or how's that rule work when he's there?
No, he won't. Okay. He won't buy it. He mean Jordan doesn't mind. That course is so. It's so exclusive that, you know, if they get 12 people playing a day, that's a good number.
That's dope.
So it doesn't really, when Jordan shows up and comes through the gate, you know, they know when he's there, his caddy comes out, they have everything ready for him. They have the meal he wants, the cocktail he wants, the cigars are ready for him. It's already set up, it's all ready to go. So now he doesn't mind playing around other people. That's not a, none of those guys and gals are really like that, to where they don't want to be around people, especially when that's why they go to places like that, because the people that are around aren't going to bother them.
Pretty much.
You know, we're going to say hi and what's up and keep it moving. You know, we're not going to celebritize them, basically.
So when there's tournaments and like golf classic events and stuff where they have the celebrity appearances, that is also one of those things where they're not as agitated as much? Or
so like with every PGA Tour event, you're going to have a pro-am. Which is basically where you have a PGA Tour pro playing with three other individuals that may have spent a lot of money to play with that individual. When those players are playing, whether, and especially like in a celebrity event like the one in Tahoe, when they're playing out there, they know what they're signing up. They're signing up to be celebritized. They're signing up for people to come at them and cheer for them and say hi to them. And so that's a different scenario. When you go to a facility where you're trying to be, you know, incognito, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you go to these facilities that have these gates that won't open unless, you know, you give them social security numbers.
Yikes.
They know what they're getting. That's why they pay the money to be there.
Let me ask you this question. How are you being perceived? And we'll take it back to UNLV. How are you being perceived at UNLV being black, politically correct, Quan, African-American? How are you being perceived on campus and from your colleagues?
That's a great question. That is a great question. Because that goes into this whole segue of the inclusion and everything of you being the only person sometimes in the room. Or most of the time in the room.
9 out of 10 times, only one in the room.
Yeah.
And if it's more, it's one. You know, and if it's more than that, we've coordinated to make it more than that. I would say...
And we're in 2020.
Are you perceived as a token? That's what I need to know.
You know, I've never been told that I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously, I'd be naive to think that that's not maybe the reality for some scenarios, some people. I do like to make sure that I'm very careful with the events that I place my name on. And the things that I am asked to do to make sure that it's not just a token scenario for
me.
Right. But that's taking time. You know, in the beginning of my career, I would say, I was probably used a lot just for my likeness, for sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but selfishly, that probably helped me to grow in my career, too, a lot faster than other people.
Nice.
So it was a give and take. I probably gave up a little bit to the devil a little bit.
I think we all kind of do
Once I got to where I'm at, now I'm able to give it all back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm able to use the platform now for good. But I would definitely say that now in 2020, and, you know, me being in my 8th year at the university and my 12th year being a PGA professional, that, you know, people know if I'm at an event or I'm supporting something, it's a worthy cause.
Yeah.
It's worthwhile for being there. But it's definitely a benefit to have me around for sure, mm-hmm. especially talking about diversity.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not in the room for diversity, it might not be a good place for someone else to be that is diverse. Then,
and we got to start somewhere. And you could rest assured that when it's all said and done, you will be labeled as a forefather.
Oh, absolutely.
A person who actually laid down the groundwork and actually made that walk for us before we were able to make that walk for ourselves. So personally, I give you kudos. I think it's super dope. And I'm not, you know, here to diminish anything that you do. I'm here to let you know that we need you.
Yes, we do.
What is that conversation like in that room, in these meetings?
They can get intense. Like for example, I had a meeting this morning with a member of the chief diversities or chief people officers staff, the PGA of America today, about some diverse initiatives that the PGA of America, which has 29,000 members across the world that they represent, and we had some very candid conversation about the way some things were being handled and the way scholarships were being handed out. And we just made sure that everybody's on the same page. So I'm the kind of person that I've built a good relationship with everybody to where they know that I'm never going to be disrespectful. I'm always going to be humble. I'm always going to listen. But I have zero problem putting my opinion out there. Nice. And I have zero problem backing it up with facts. If I say it, I probably have a fact to back it up. And if I don't say it, I don't have a fact to back it up. But I'll find the fact later on.
Well, it sounds like you're respected by that, too.
It is.
That you've reached that 8 years here, you've reached that level where they're like, well, we've got mad respect for Kendall. So it's not like we're not going to treat him a certain way or dismiss what his claims are or whatever he's saying.
Right.
You know your stuff.
A situation where you might get a little pushback on something that you might throw out there?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I get pushback. I mean, there's pushback. There's give and take with life on everything like that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's certain times to where, yeah, I may say, hey, I want to do it this way. This is what my community really wants. And they'll say, okay, well, that's great. But we need to look at it from, you know, other communities' perspectives too. I'm like, okay, you're right, we do. Let me look at brown, let me look at yellow, let me look at everybody else, let me look at GLBTQ, let me look at all the communities that we have. Sometimes I get stuck in my mind of just dealing with my community, and I have to realize, okay, let's look outward.
It's about everybody.
And,
yeah.
And you know, and that's why there's people smarter than me in the room to reel me back in sometimes. And you know, back on the point that you were making, Dre, about I can definitely say that I stand on the shoulders of many men and women that came before me that literally laid down their lives to make sure that I have the ability to do what I'm doing right now. You know, from the Lee Elders, from Tiger to, you know, to Charlie Silver, to all these gentlemen, Renee Powell, and to her father, Mr. Powell. You know, these are the individuals that literally made it to where I could even become a PGA professional, you know, and go to college and play golf. And to be able to stand in front of the chief executive officers and these leaders in the business world, so like I said, I'm trying to create the next generation behind me, so I can tell, they can tell my story, like I can tell the story of the individuals that got me to where I am. But you know, that's the part that makes me excited to look back and say, man, that's where they were.
That's dope.
This is where we are now.
Yeah.
I can only imagine where we can be.
Well, you mentioned it at the very beginning. You mentioned it at the beginning, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, that your mission was to give back,
mm-hmm.
and to continue giving back and to see others that look like you or myself or any of us in the room,
mm-hmm.
to be able to be in the position that you're in or also be playing well as they do on these elite courses and that.
For sure.
What kind of good golf tips do you have? Because my dad is a golfer. Shout out to dad, because I know he's watching.
Shout out
Dre.
To Pops.
Yeah.
I'm playing with it a little bit.
Yeah.
I stay on the course.
It's so fun, bro.
I had clubs that I got, and I sold them at a yard sale.
Yeah. I'm right
I do not golf like I should.
Go back to that same yard sale.
No, this too late. They're gone. They're a women's set. They were great. I just never got a chance to play because it's one of those things you have to play a lot. You have to be on. I mean, you have to, like, you, I mean, feel to, like, and, you have to be
in order
consistent.
To be good.
Yes.
But I think going out there, you know, once every, you know, 30 to 45 days or something like that, as just, you know,
amateurs.
Getting together and just going out there and getting some practice in and maybe hitting the driving range and things. That
and
type
drinking.
Of stuff to
don't
me.
I mean, that's Top Golf.
Well, you know they
that's Top Golf, Dre. That's Top Golf, and I'm terrible at it.
No, I, you know, and let me,
not at the course. No.
No, not at the course. I'm just being funny. I'm saying I'm Top Golf with it. You know, I
it's
put my
fine.
Dad out there at Top Golf. He embarrassed us all.
Well, you got to get a good tea time.
You
I'm
do.
Pretty sure he'll tell you that too.
And they're early. They're super early in the morning, and it's like, especially with the summers, you have to get out there super mad early because that heat comes in.
Be out there about, at least over there where I'm at, be out there about 5 a.m.
Yeah, because the hours are long depending on the course holes, you know. But what tips do you have for our beginning golfers, our pros? Because you do give a lot of tips out there, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And have you given some to professional players as well? Like anybody that we know or would
recognize? No, one you know that.
Okay. Yeah. But they are professionals.
No. I mean, I've gotten tips from cats like Tiger and, you know, these guys on tour like that when I was growing up. But I would say, you know, in our reality with golf, I mean, it's one of those things to where the number one tip is to find your local or your closest PGA professional. And work with them on your golf game, because we can try to teach ourselves through YouTube or through watching TV or through reading an article. But in reality, the reason why I train individuals that I do in my university to be able to go out and teach is so that we can make all y'all's games better. So with that being in mind, that's the number one tip right there: is just find your local PGA professional and get some lessons from them. After that. You know, when you're working on your own game, you know, it's very simple. It's three main things. The only thing that matters in golf is your grip, your stance, and your posture.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold the club properly, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you stand correctly over the ball, you'll be okay. And if your stance, meaning how wide your feet are from each other, or not wide from each other, you'll be okay too. And at that point, it's just having fun with the golf ball.
Well, what about your swing? Because Charles Barkley has a problem with that.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's only on TV. Charles' swing really isn't that bad in real life. Which
okay.
It's kind of funny. It's actually the exact opposite. It's actually not bad. For some reason, when he gets on TV, which is weird because he's been on TV for so many years doing NBA on TNT, but it's not bad. He just gets in his mind and starts thinking about stuff and starts getting a little jittery with it. But that's not the norm. The normal golf swing that I recommend is just what I like to call a fluid swing, to where it's just a motion to where it's all you're doing is going straight back and straight forward. No different if you were to swing a hammer. You're not going to move a hammer all around.
What about baseball? Is it kind of similar?
Closer to tennis.
Oh.
It's closer to tennis. You know,
okay.
if you had
speaking to the mic, D, because you're too far away.
If you had
closer to that mic, we can't
if you were
hear
trying
you.
To hit a forehand. Or even a backhand shot, those are more similar to an actual golf motion because it's actually allowing you to open up your hips a little bit more. But baseball can be, I mean, a lot of baseball players tend to be pretty good golfers. Really, the sport that really goes hand in hand is hockey.
Yeah.
I found that a ton of hockey players are really, really good golfers. And a lot of the Vegas Knights that are here now, pretty much, well, all the ones that knew they were going to stick around for a long time have bought membererships at different clubs, whether it be Southern Highlands or TPC Summerlin or that kind of stuff. You know, like Mark Stone, those guys are. So they're playing golf, you know.
Oh, okay.
But that hockey motion really correlates well to a golf swing. It's almost like seamless in reality. A slap shot is very close to what a golf swing is.
That more or less hand-eye coordination, too.
Exactly. Hand-eye coordination is
definitely
key. And just patience,
yeah,
patience. The
that's
one sport,
the thing.
It's the most humbling. I love this game. It's the most humbling game in the world to where you can be, you know, the ball's not going anywhere. The ball's sitting right there in front of you. You see it. And somehow you can miss it. You know? It's a humbling, humbling sport.
I didn't know until I got out there, like, you know, it was cool. It was real peaceful out there. It was a great experience when I went out there. I was chilling. I ain't expect to have that good of a time when I went.
Oh no, it's fun.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah,
it is fun.
But when you have a person behind you that's pretty competitive, Sometimes you got to keep it moving. Yeah. They ain't got time for you to be looking for your ball.
I learned the hard way.
They ain't got time to be doing all that, bros. You got to keep it moving. And sometimes let's just go. Let's just actually skip the next hole, and so we can get a little.
Who's the best professional player outside of not being a professional golfer that has the best form, the most admired? If it's a basketball player that you've seen play golf, who's the best one?
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is the best.
Hands down. Steph.
Hands down.
No question.
Is that good?
It'll go Steph then Ray. Ray Allen.
Andre Iguodala is a player too.
Iggy's good, but you said form.
Yeah.
Best form.
You said form.
Okay, who's the best that you've seen?
Steph's still the best. You know?
That you've seen out. Steph has a great game.
And then Jesus, number two. Yikes.
Shut up.
You got those Jesus out
there. Steph had the show. For the golf.
He had a golf show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
he had a show.
Jerry Rice is really good too.
Okay.
Jerry Rice actually played in at the time, the web.com event that was held in Hayward, California, which is at TPC Stonebray out there. I think at that time it was the Alperson. He qualified and played in that event. And Steph constantly plays in the celebrity event in Reno or Tahoe every year up at Edgewood. But Steph probably hands down best looking golf swing of somebody outside of golf, but also talent wise, he's really good at that. He's really good at golf. He plays all the time. Iguodala is talented too, plays a lot. Jerry Rice plays a ton, really good at golf as well. It's amazing that they, like these high competitive athletes that make it to the pinnacle of their careers in their field, when they transfer that over, even Tony Romo, for example, when they transfer that over, they're able to really do that. Shout out Tony Romo getting $17 million.
He does everything better than football.
Yeah, exactly. $17 million. We're going to talk about it when we get to my NFL.
I apologize.
Before we move on, guaranteed. Steph Curry show was a holy moly on ABC.
Oh, holy moly! I think I did see that on Instagram. Holy moly! Yeah, guaranteed.
And he ain't got to go through concussion protocol to get this.
No, nothing. He's sitting there being a broadcaster. Isn't that crazy?
$17 million.
So, Girl Chat Sports, Mo and Mel, actually Mo and Dre. Juan D. Hey. Kendall. Give us a call, 702-608-3259. Thanks for tuning in and checking us out. Please keep sharing. Kendall Murphy, thank you so much, because this was very insightful. And it's been a minute that we haven't, you know, we've mentioned it, and you've always said, Mo, you haven't had me on the show. And we need to get you on the show. And this was a perfect time.
It worked out great. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you what the shades is all about. What's going on?
You know, I'm
real quick, I just put in the chat that he had LASIK, so don't spoil the excuse I gave.
Okay, all right. We're going to roll with the LASIK.
Unfortunately, you know, I have a sensitivity to light. So I like that. I usually, even when I'm driving at night, I have my shades on because of headlights and stuff like that. I was recently, unfortunately, in a car accident. So,
I'm sorry.
Know. Okay.
The lights is really, you know.
And the lights are bright.
Why we got to question the man's shades? I mean, we don't give Stevie Wonder any issues.
She always see me out with my shades.
I always see him with the shades. It's just me being, you know, me being petty and messy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, let me.
Go ahead.
I want to share this story with you, just real quick, man. It's really, really quick. I went golfing with a friend of mine. He's in his 50s. He's a white guy from Connecticut, and we've been friends a long time. And he said, hey, man, I'm coming to Vegas. Let's go golfing. So I'm not going to mention the course, but we went golfing. And I've been golfing before with an NFL buddy of mine and his dad, and we go all the time. And so that's how I know about certain etiquette and, you know, it's just different. It's just different type of etiquette. But I didn't know that they get that loaded out there sometimes. You know, that people who are doing it as a, you know, just a hobby, you know, got money to burn, whatever. And so we had a great time. We had a couple people who were really competitive that was following us. So I remember having to skip two holes that I really wanted to play at because they were just catching up and they, you know, it's just one of them things. And, right when we were done, we turn our carts in, they grab our stuff, and he said, I have to use the restroom really quick. And we go inside of the clubhouse. And so I'm sitting at the bar, and I'm waiting for him as he's coming out of the restroom. And this is the truest thing I'm gonna ever say, man. That had to be, it ranks up there, it's top five, as one of the most uncomfortable wait in the place. I was probably in there 6-7 minutes, but the uncomfortableness that I felt sitting there, the tension, you can cut it with a knife, bros. It was like everybody was looking at me like, why is he in here? I promise you, bros. I had never felt that before. And when he came out, he's like, you want to have a drink? I was like, nah, let's just leave. We good. But I had never felt that before. It's two years ago.
That's crazy. I had a similar experience after I finished golfing. But I was cool. I was G. But the guy went to the restroom and I was just in there solo. Yeah. And he came back like, you know, you want to have a drink? I was like, let's go ahead. But, you know, stuff like I'm a very diverse cat. So it didn't really bother me too much.
Yeah, I've never had that problem.
Well, I'm pretty sure you have. Especially with the CIA jacket you got on today. I mean, what I'm saying is.
How dare you?
He ready to snitch on somebody right now. Get him, Cool Blue.
Oh, I'm in the blue band. Listen, shout out to Vance Horn who made those great memes of Quan Tekashi 6ix9ine for us.
Yeah, but I felt a certain type of way, man, and I just was like, wow.
Yeah,
I will say that that story right there is actually one of my driving forces for making sure that. The PGA of America, which is the organization that I represent, which, like I said, again, is 29,000 members, looks like America. Because I can tell you right now, the individuals that are making decisions on how golf is going to be perceived for the next 20 years do not necessarily look like the individuals that are at this table right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those stories aren't known, right? So it takes individuals like myself and us at this table to be able to tell those stories. And it's unfortunate that in, you know, 2018, 2017, 2019, 2020, even individuals can have that feeling. Now, I will tell you, though, that I have had similar situations like that myself. And you know, it's happened. It hasn't happened very recently, but it has happened. And, you know, I was in the Deep South when it happened. And
real
I was,
quick, Kendall, I'm so sorry.
Go
we got a caller.
Oh.
Caller. Holla, holla, holla. Girl Chat Sports.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, my gosh. Hang up the phone, Quan.
They gave you a phone in quarantine?
Yeah, quarantine,
good
yes.
Lord.
Shout out to Mel, Melissa Ferris on the line. My other half of
what's
Girl
up,
Chat
Mel?
Sports.
Mel. Now, we don't know how this is spread, so I'm not sure if you can get it over the phone.
Ooh.
Through phone lines, really, Quan. I'm going to bring all of the coronavirus to you, basically.
Actually, you're
going to
be quarantined in the studio for the next few weeks. We said that. If that
you're off for March.
Yeah.
I'll be telecommuting. Wonderful.
So what's up? How's it
I'm
going
so
up there?
I'm missing this show, though. It's good, actually. But I'm bummed. I know we've been trying to get Kendall Murphy on forever.
Yes, we have.
Comes on the day that I'm not going to be there.
Yeah,
so,
but we'll
know.
Get him back again. We'll get him back
Bummer.
Again.
Coincidence or no?
Yeah, shout out to Dre and shout out to D and his glasses. I appreciate the Chicago Bulls shirt, that for sure.
Yeah.
It is money all the way.
Yeah, yes. he wanted to represent for you. See, we still showing
Wait,
you some love.
Wait, his glasses got a shout out.
My
the glasses are an attention getter.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
The glasses are an attention getter.
It's your own entity. They have their own entity.
It is.
I thought it might have been the grill, the hair. You know, I am AKA, I am the Golden Lord. Remember Media Man?
Okay.
Kuzma was one of the lord, the junior lords.
No, I'm not a baby. They were baby lords. They were baby lords.
So Kyle Kuzma is a baby lord.
I'm a golden lord.
Because his hair right now is quite blonde too. Kyle Kuzma.
No, actually,
oh, no, he's a baby lord.
He died back.
Okay. But he was a baby lord.
Yeah, yesterday
he was a baby lord.
Okay.
So Kyle Kuzma for getting rid of that nasty hair.
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't fall out of his head.
Well,
anyway,
they were going to wave him if he didn't change his hair color.
Oh.
I'm just playing.
No, I knew that wasn't right. So, Mel, tell me about this. $4.99 a pound on Dungeness crab.
Listen, you all, I just left QFC, which is like the same as like the Smiths out there. It's all Kroger. But they had $4.99 a pound Dungeness crab. You know, my crab addiction is in heaven right now. I left with 4 pounds. I may have to go back tomorrow and get more.
Nice. Is there
like
a way that
those
can be
for $20?
Can that be shipped by chance? Because you're going to be gone for a minute.
It can be shipped.
Can we have that deal on ice? Like, can we pack it?
The dry ice.
If it doesn't get coronized, you can put some coronas in there though, like the beers. That might kill it.
They're not lime and that.
No, they're not. Yeah, Washington's on lockdown. So you said the news has you kind of freaked out a little bit, too. And I need you to calm down as well.
Listen, the news out here is so different than Vegas. Like, my whole thing is, yeah, no one should be going to, like, buy 10, you know, crates of water and every single, you know, Clorox wipe you can get. But they should at least know what's happening. And I feel like other cities maybe that aren't as affected by it as Seattle aren't getting the same information as they're getting here. Like, I've learned so much just from being here and watching the news in the last 24 hours than I knew just being in Vegas.
Yikes.
Well,
fill us in. What did you find out?
They got you really like all on some stuff.
Yeah, what did you find out that we don't know?
Yeah, I mean, like, people don't realize, like, it's not even an airborne thing. Like, you're not going to, like, people wear these masks. It's not going to help you because it's not airborne. It's when you're touching stuff that where somebody could have coughed on or sneezed on maybe, like, you know, 7 days ago or a week ago, and you touched it, and now you put your fingers on your face somewhere, and now you're going to be able to get it that way.
So that could be packages sent from overseas that somebody could just be touched that was 7 days ago, basically is what you're saying.
And everything's made from China.
So Amazon is helping spread that then, right?
Ooh, yikes.
I'm not buying any Amazon stuff right now. I'm really not trying to get anything.
But you get mail though.
Period, because I don't know where it's been.
USPS.
Yeah. My Jordans came from China. All this happened.
We're wearing them. I got Adidas on. I mean, it's one of those things. But Mel, I appreciate you calling in.
Like I said, it's nothing to freak out about. I'm just saying, but it's good. It's good information for people to know actually what's happening, not just listening to Quan on Facebook.
Yeah, Quan's posts, though, have been comedy on it, though. I've been actually very entertained by the posts. Quan, you got anything to add to that before we let Mel go?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, Mel, thank you so much. That was Mel.
We miss you, Mel. We miss you, Mel.
Oh, tell Doreen I said hi. Tell her I said hi.
Mel, we miss you.
Yes, we do.
I miss you guys, too. I'll make sure I give everybody hugs.
Mm-hmm. Give Dre a kiss, though.
All right.
Whoa.
And Quan too. Now that he chimed in.
All right.
Bye.
Shout out Melissa Ferris, Girl Chat Sports, co-host extraordinaire. That was a lot of interesting stuff going on that you talked about with golf and everything. But we're gonna move into NBA because it is the NBA season, and I gotta talk about this.
Go Warriors.
Go Warriors. Oh, okay.
Well, they beat Denver last night.
They sure did. So what is this postseason thing looking like as far as the picture? What are you thinking? But before we get into that, I got to talk really quickly about Spike Lee.
Yes.
My man, Spike Lee. And I know Quan played Fight the Power earlier. He's more than welcome to play that again. But Spike had an incident.
He had an incident. Over at MSG.
At the MSG, yes. Yeah. He had an incident where he had his ticket scanned. Mm. He did not go through the VIP entrance because for the past 28 years, as him being
employee,
a season ticket holder.
Employee entrance.
I know, but I'm getting to that. Thank you. As soon as he gets, before I could get into my story, God dang it, D. Mute his mic, Quan, for me, please. Thank you. He instead of going to the VIP entrance, he goes into the employee entrance, which he's been doing for the last 28 years as a season ticket holder. They stop him abruptly and say, you can't come down here this way. You got to go up, outside, around, down, and in another entrance. He never got the memo. Was told he was never notified. He did, however, say on First Take that they mention him. Like, he gets a call the minute his tickets to buy his season tickets are a day late. He gets an immediate phone call. But he was never notified about this instance. So a lot of verbal exchanges. I think I saw a video where he was saying that you guys are going to arrest me like Oakley. You're going to treat me, you're going to drag me out here like Oakley. Charles Oakley, that is, because he got dragged out a year ago.
Yikes.
So he did finally make it to his seat. And the owner, Jimmy Dolan, who also owns the Forum in Los Angeles and the MSG Sphere that's coming out here, and Madison Square Garden approached him and told him, I guess he tried to speak to Spike, and Spike was like, I really don't have nothing to say. I wasn't notified about this new policy change. And Jimmy Dolan's response was, now you know, and I walk away.
Yeah, well, you know, you're dealing with Dolan, who is, you know, probably one of, if not the controversial, worst owner in all of major sports.
And he's a trust fund baby, so let's just be real. He got his money from his dad, and these are his toys that he's playing with, and this is just a new kind of...
How nice is that?
Yeah, very
but
nice,
But I think if to have that type of attitude to a person who is paying...
well over $10 million.
Literally. Mm-hmm. That amount of money, and you have a consumer that is faithfully supporting your team, even though they've been dumpster fire for the past 15 plus years. Why would you treat them? Why would you treat a consumer like that?
Well, we've seen this scenario happen before when he kicked out a fan who just merely said, maybe you should sell the team.
He's too in his feelings all
the
time.
He's very thin-skinned.
He's very thin-skinned.
Yes.
I think he owes Spike Lee an apology. And as an owner, I know sometimes we can, you know, and I say we because I have, you know, I own a couple of businesses, but we can kind of get in our thing where we're like, I'm the owner. I don't have to apologize to anybody. But I think in this case, he needs to apologize because Spike Lee has helped the fan base still continue to be a fan
Absolutely.
Base because people love Spike Lee also.
Yeah. Now what
they love his movies.
Right.
They just love him as a person. And when they seeing
help
him so
make relevant still.
Yeah.
And they're losing.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, he is the official Knicks booster. He is the booster club president, I feel
yeah.
like. He's the
even,
main
even
one.
Even for you, Mo, when you said that the one fan said sell the team, I can't even really just say that that's exclusive to just the Knicks because – it was a guy that had a, he was with his wife. He had a jersey at the Bulls game because, you know, they having a problem with management with Paxton and Gar Farman. He had a jersey that said, fire Gar Pax. They escorted him on, right up out of there. They got him out of there.
Hmm.
So freedom is.
So, mm-hmm. so, yeah.
The narrative is being played out.
So Charles Oakley was on a Golic and Wingo radio show this morning, and he stated he wasn't surprised. He's also quoted saying that it's a plantation over there.
Yikes.
Called, yeah, he went in. Called Dolan a control freak.
That he is.
And is aware that Jimmy Dolan won't sell the team, but he also insinuated that the league should step in and say something and treated Donald Sterling like. With
yeah, but James Dolan money is a lot longer than Sterling.
Absolutely. And like I said, he owns the Forum. And Steve Ballmer is talking about purchasing the Forum. That's
right.
Another MSG property itself. And, I mean, it's just extensive, long, yeah. long money.
I mean,
what's it worth right now?
Which one? The Knicks?
$4.6 billion.
Oh, yeah.
That's how much they're for sale
for.
That's
long money. Yeah.
So, number one.
And he owns the facility, too. So
if someone was to offer James Dolan right now, today, March 3rd, what's today's date?
March 4th.
Mm-hmm. March 4th, $7.3 billion. He wouldn't sell. He will never sell
because he loses his power.
Now he just that just in merchandise alone for New York sports is top 5.
Oh yeah,
is Rangers his too?
No, but it's just, you know, just New York sports.
That franchise is as expensive as the Lakers, Chicago. These
like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm
franchises.
Not even a Knicks fan.
He has the
but,
network, too, the MSG network. Is that
his? He's all MSG.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm not even a Knicks fan, but I wouldn't, I would spend money on a dope Knicks jersey.
Isn't this the same team that threw Stephon Marbury a bunch of bread and he didn't even play or some crazy
well,
stuff? Like,
he got into it with Dolan and them, too.
Yeah.
And the coach, and they sat him down, and they kind of ruined his career, almost like how they tried to do Carmelo Anthony.
Yikes. Yeah.
And if it's like a plantation, what does that say to people who are Phil Jackson fans?
Look how they did Ewan in the end.
Come on, man.
That was foul.
They still hadn't even offered an opportunity for Mark Jackson to even say no.
Mm.
But you'll go and hire D'Antoni, though, quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, these are things that people kind of, you know, that Spike Lee knows this, too.
Yeah, he does.
You know, and so, you know, to still support that team, even though it is quote unquote phrased from Oakley as a plantation, to still support this team and give them millions of dollars like Spike Lee did, Dolan owes him an apology.
He does. Now, Spike has said he's not going to participate the rest of the season, but he might come back next season. Do you think he should just forgo? I mean, I know he's under contract probably with his
PSL.
He's
not. You know why? Because he loves basketball too much.
He loves the Knicks.
He loves basketball.
Yeah.
You know, if Dolan was going to, escort Spike Lee out, it should have been when he started talking crap to Reggie Miller and Reggie Miller came back in 12 seconds and beat the Knicks down. You should have walked him out then.
Right.
Not now.
Yeah. Good point.
Your team is dumpster fire, and I'm still supporting them by giving millions of dollars for seats.
Yeah. Well, now, why couldn't they just preface as seating him this one time and say, you know, just for the future reference?
That should have been done.
That could have been the conversation.
That should have been done.
Instead, Spike Lee,
I'm going to let you in this time, but we did change the policy, so you may want to reach out to somebody about that policy.
Right.
I'm going to let you in. I'm just saying. A conversation. But, you know, when you have employees, and I'm going to just say this, sometimes people are just robots. They just do what you tell them to do. They may see the same people every single day for 28 years, but sometimes they are just yes men. Do this.
That's true.
It's in the memo. I don't care who it is.
That's true.
I had this exact conversation with her. She kept shutting me down.
No, you did not say it like that. Please do not go there. That was not phrased the way you said it.
I didn't articulate it like that. But
well, maybe that you need to change your articulation then, because I didn't comprehend it then.
Yeah,
because
you weren't trying to hear it. I said this.
You know, we argue like this, like we're doggone married or something, and we're not.
Alimony.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably be the
true
one.
True lies.
I'd probably be the shooter.
What was that one movie that old school, His and Hers, when they was on TV? They was news anchors or something like that.
Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. That's a good
classic.
One.
Classic.
I got some fun questions to ask you guys later regarding like shows and stuff, too.
Okay.
So, moving on, because that was a great point.
Yeah.
We got to talk about these Dallas Mavericks and these Pelicans tonight. Mm. And I asked this question because I saw it. Who would you rather start your franchise with, Luka or Zion?
That's a really good question.
I say Luka, just because I know what he has done.
I would say.
But then I don't know what
Zion. I'm gonna say Zion because to me he has more star power. He has more upside, and people want to see a dominant big man just dunk over the entire league. They want to see dominance like that. Although the league has moved into, you know, guard heavy and positionless basketball.
Right.
Just the energy that Zion brings is electric. And not saying that Luka doesn't bring that same energy. He has a lot of finesse. He can shoot from half court,
mm-hmm.
just like Steph Curry or young loose hair. over in Atlanta.
Oh, Trey. Who are you talking about? Trey Young.
Trey Young.
Oh, and speaking of Trey Young, did you see what happened with him and Trevor Ariza? Right.
Yes.
Because his play now.
He didn't
want to
get nutmegged.
Trevor needs to calm down.
Yeah. Trevor needs to calm down.
But Trevor Ariza is a vet, and you're not going to nutmeg me, G.
Right.
You can do that to all these young dudes, but I don't play them type of games.
Yeah.
I got a championship ring over here. Like, who you thought I was?
That's what it was.
For me, I would say Luka.
You go with Luka?
I would go with Luka all day. I mean, I understand all of the points that you made in regards to Zion. But, you know, dude need to trim down, for one.
That'll happen.
And then, you know, when you come in and you're explosive like that, look at Blake Griffin now.
Very
you know,
true.
We got a dude out
Very
here that's
true.
A young boy that has almost the same amount of triple-doubles as LeBron, and he's young. He's just getting started. That I don't see Zion making other people around him better. Luka's making other people bet. Like, they're not even supposed to be where they're at right now, Dallas. Mm-hmm. Even though they slid a little bit, man, come on, man.
But Dallas is well
coached. Portland fell off. Portland could have easily been where Dallas is right now. Easy. The Kings playing better right now could have easily be right there. We didn't see the Thunder coming, but he made that team that much better. Come on, man. Tim Hardaway Jr., you got name the rest of their starting lineup. And they right there.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. Trash.
Ooh.
Trash.
Porzingis?
strong.
Oh, no,
oh about
my
that.
God!
I don't
no.
know about
you,
that.
You a 7-footer? You supposed to be able to score?
No, that's not true.
Not all 7-footers can score like
that's
that.
That's not true.
The last 7-footer that couldn't score was Will Perdue and Luke Longley.
Well, God rest his soul, Kevin Duckworth is rolling over in his grave.
So Duckworth, they have a game tonight. Great. I don't know. Is the game on right? Oh, it is on. So it's 22-27 in the second quarter.
And real
quarter.
Quick, I got.
Go ahead.
Porzingis is averaging 19 points a game, right. 9 rebounds a game, 1 assist, shooting 42%, 35 from 3.
How tall is he?
What,
oops, sorry.
What
only,
does that
only,
matter?
Only 9 rebounds?
What does that matter?
That does matter. He should be Why? Averaging a double-double.
So how many 7-footers are in the league not averaging 9 rebounds?
You want to look it up?
Yeah, probably about 20 or 30.
Pretty much. I would say that it's about up there.
He's
about
trash.
20.
He's not trash.
No,
Stop
there's no
it.
Way.
He's and he's coming off
Cut
2 years off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And been balling this year.
Yeah. And the Knicks should have never got rid of him.
No, they should not have, amongst others.
Mm. What did they give up again?
Courtney Lee. Come on, man. It's a bunch of terribleness.
Yeah, but Porzingis, that was a big one. Real quick, too, because we also talk about this MVP race, and we know my Lake show had a stellar night last night against Philly, but a lot of the key players weren't playing. Ben Simmons was out. And
a win is a win.
But a win is a win. We're going to take it. Yeah, we still would have won. And LeBron had an epic 36-foot half-court, darn near half-court shot. That was just
in
incredible.
At like 8 minutes to go still.
Yes.
It wasn't like it was like 10 seconds.
So to your description of all this, do you think, and then he just got the Western Conference Offensive Player of the Month back-to-back, 2 months in a row. Do you, with this conversation, do you think that he is going to be the MVP over Giannis?
Well, I don't think that. I I'm a LeBron James guy. I would say right now he has a slight edge over Giannis as the MVP. Being 35 years old and taking this team and still doing all of the things that he did when he first came into the league still. It looks like he has not lost a step. And, to Alvin Gentry's comment, this guy literally, I don't even see why he is not in the conversation of MVP every single year.
Exactly.
That's my argument. Except for last year.
And
he was
he's
hurt.
32.
Yeah.
You take last year away every
and
year.
And he's 32.
Nuts.
Nuts. That makes for a great story. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, because I feel like this whole narrative, and granted, I feel like the Bucks might reach that 70 win season.
Right.
Maybe a little over that, but they never closed postseason. They should have beat Toronto
last
season.
But I think it's really close between Antetokounmpo and LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I think it's really close. But I give the slight edge, like I said, to LeBron James.
I do too.
Hey, Antetokounmpo, you are young.
Right.
You should be light years way better than LeBron. LeBron shouldn't even be in the conversation with you right now, being as young as you are.
But Giannis is number one as far as the defensive player, ranked number one in the league.
Okay. Does that
But offensively, no. Because LeBron is an all-around player working on all cylinders.
What is Giannis sacrificing? LeBron's sacrificing and still balling. I would give it to LeBron.
Well, we will see.
Interesting.
Because I feel like they're making it a determination. Well, media
they said
heads.
He passed the most. To Anthony Davis, the most of any player that he played with.
Well, you know, he is.
Does he make Anthony Davis better?
I think he does.
I think he does too.
Anthony Davis was super dope over in New Orleans.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But he has become a better player because LeBron James is willing to give him the ball every single time if he wants it.
Yeah.
If you cooking, I'm going to let you cook. And those of us who are watching the show or play basketball, how many times is it hard that if you're cooking for your teammate to continue to give you the ball, most of the times a little bit of that jelly come in and they like, hold on, he cooking. I want to try to get mine now. He does not have that ego when it comes to team wins.
Right.
That's what I was saying. He's sacrificing more.
Yeah.
So Giannis right now is averaging 29 points, 13 rebounds a game. LeBron's right at 25-7. He's first in the league in assists, though, LeBron James is. Mm. So that definitely makes AD much better.
How do you feel about that comment that James Harden made the other day
about Giannis?
Saying that it's easy to just run up and down the court and just dunk. That doesn't take any skill.
It sounds like James Harden's a hater and a little bitter.
I thought the same thing. That was like a hater comment. What do you think?
But I think Giannis also did disrespect to a vet to a certain degree. But I think it's also trash talk. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Murphy, you've been quiet over there. What are you thinking?
I mean, shout out to my no-name Warriors for winning last night against Denver.
You know? Oh, okay, yeah.
That was a great win. That was a great win.
Good game. Yes.
I mean, that's
yes,
a big
yes,
win.
Right? Your boy Anthony Wiggins had 22 points last night.
Right. Yeah.
Jordan Poole got on, too.
Canadian came to play that day.
And I'm going to tell you something. That Christmas game you guys had against the Houston Rockets.
Listen,
I was all about it. I'm going to tell you
right now. These Warriors right now. These young Bulls that we got out there right now. These young guys we got out there right now. You know, they gonna next season, we're going to be a problem.
I got a question for you.
We come back healthy, we're going to be a problem.
I got a question for you, though. Steve Kerr.
Yes.
You think he's a real coach or no?
No.
I mean.
Interesting.
When you say a real coach, what's your definition? What are you trying to say?
I mean,
here,
I'm putting him on the level parameter? Of like.
Speaking of a former coach, I'm a former coach here.
I mean, by the textbook label of coach, by definition,
does
yes,
he
he's
call
a coach.
X's and O's
yes,
and draw, and
he,
draw, and draw
he
on
the
board?
Is he the guy that is really making stuff happen? Or he
well,
is
we
the guy?
Have.
Because you have a coaching staff. I
we
get
have
it.
We have a defensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator,
right.
And a head coach.
Stop.
This is not
the
football.
The head coach is here. The head coach is here to maintain the entire staff. No, I'm saying that we are a great team, and we are finally getting some rest right now. And I can't wait for my boy Steph's supposed to come back this week, I think it is, and do something. I wish he would sit down for the rest of the season, but he wanted to shoot the basketball, you know, and run
well,
down
the
court.
Well, he was supposed to play this past Sunday, and they sat him. So
he went down to our G League team.
He
down to G League team, Santa Cruz, did some things down there. But Steve Kerr,
that's practice.
You know, me personally, you know, and I'm a diehard Warriors fan. I sat through, you know, 43 years of us not doing nothing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was the one watching Latrell Sprewell.
Yeah.
And the boys out there, Donyell Marshall,
yeah,
way back in the day, you know? You know, Run TMC was.
Adonis Foyle and all of those.
The Root is Marcellonis.
You know, when we got to the We Believe team, you know, had my boy Stack out there and everything like that. That was where it was at. But I will say, though, that I was not a fan of us bringing in Steve Kerr, you know?
Okay.
I wasn't a fan of the exit that Mark Jackson had to have. I'm not a fan of the lack of credit that Mark Jackson gets for the team that we have.
He built
at least our first championship team that he built for us and showed us the blueprint. Steve Kerr definitely just had an ability to just follow the blueprint like any smart man would do. You got the best shooting backcourt in history. Let him shoot.
Did he, or was it a better look for the current Sacramento Kings coach to be your guys' coach?
Interesting.
Luke Walton? No, I don't believe that Luke. No, I'm happy that he's in Sacramento.
Okay.
You know, he needs to be an hour and a half, 2 hours away from us. He's doing. I'm not saying he can't coach. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But I'm saying that I don't think that he would have been a better coach over Steve Kerr. I think that Coach Kerr is able to bring the men together in the way it's necessary. You know, it's not necessarily all about – once you get to the NBA, it's not really about X's and O's anymore. You know how to play. You know strategy.
I would have to agree with him on that.
You need to motivate the team to get them to pull the best out of them. You have to be able to control the emotions of all your players. You need to bring a player up, bring a player down, all in the same conversation. Right? You need to calm Draymond down 1 minute and tell Clay to shoot the ball the next minute.
Do you feel like Draymond's overworked?
Right, this season? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He should shut it down, too.
Yeah. But that's the thing with that.
Talking about with his triple single that he's averaging?
Wait, he plays every other game, though.
Load management.
He's hardly played this year.
Charles Barkley said that he's averaging a triple single.
It's tragic.
It seems to
Charles
me like.
Went with a double-double.
We're seeing who Draymond is without a cast of all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's
that's
trying.
That's why he signed that extension instead of trying to get that max. It was a smart move.
I mean, he's good for the role he plays.
He was going to lose money if he tried to sit out.
Okay.
You know, I mean, but I think that Draymond is the heart of my Warriors, though. He's the heart. You know, without him, the we're not the same. You know, can we win without him? Probably, for sure we could. But you know, he the fans love him. You know, we like when he gets mad and gets emotional and that kind of stuff. We don't like it at game five or game six, you know, championships, that kind of stuff like that. But, you know, he was baited. We know that. The league tried him. We're not going to go there. It should have been a championship right there for us. I'm still hurt to this day
about
that.
Though, going back to Giannis, do you think that they're going to go after that in the offseason? Because y'all gonna have a
that's been rumored.
Gonna have a high draft pick.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal.
You got some picks.
We would be silly to not look at that option, because you have to look at the team. You have to look at the future right now.
Very true.
You know, we're trying to – Steph and Clay are only getting older, right? They're both coming off significant injuries right now. So we really don't know how they're going to come back. We're assuming Clay's going to come back great. We're assuming Steph's going to come back great. We're assuming Draymond's going to have enough energy for next year. We're assuming that. But if you got one of the top two or three players in the league available to you in Giannis, we would be silly. That's like us saying we don't need KD back when we got KD just because we just won a championship. Yeah, we may have just been right there, but we still wanted KD to get even better.
Yeah.
We want to dominate even harder. Come on now. We're trying to step on people's necks. We want to show to the world, because the world's forgotten that the Warriors are so dominant.
I think they've forgotten.
They'll be top four in the West next year.
They're
done winning chips.
Yeah. You think they're done?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who do you think the next?
Step on next.
Who do you think? Well, they're the most hated.
Short-term memory.
Who do you think? You think it's a tenure for the Lakers again to do another dynasty run?
I don't think there's any dynasties right now.
I think it's going to go back and forth. Whether it be, you know,
so
two on the West, one on the East.
A little bit of parity out there.
Yeah. And I think that's what the league needs to be right now. We don't need another
back to back.
I think that's over with. Yeah, we need more diversity when it comes to teams actually surprising you and winning a chip, like the Toronto Raptors last year. Nobody picked them to come out of the East and actually to win it against a Golden State Warrior team who did come in a little hobbled, but at the end of the day they did what they were supposed to do. They seen a team coming in that was injured and hurt and bleeding, and they pounced on them as they should.
No doubt. I mean, shout out to Toronto for still being as good as they are right now.
Yes.
I mean,
imagine if they still had Kawhi Leonard? They would be number one in the East right now.
They would be
over the Bucks, and I think they would be the first nemesis.
That 7-3 record would be over.
Was it 16? He would have only played 20 more games, so.
What was that win streak they hit? 16, 17?
Because regular season, the Bucks were number one last season.
Played 50 last year.
Kawhi Leonard didn't play a lot.
He played 50 games last year.
He's a player.
What was that? Kawhi missed, 22 or 23 games last year?
He played 50 games, so he missed 32.
Yeah.
For his load management. Okay.
Well, you know, they said he was coming off injury.
But Toronto, 2 years ago, Toronto had the best record in the league. So they did that without Kawhi 2 years ago.
Who had the longest streak?
Was it this year?
The Lakers or the Raptors?
As far as what?
The longest win streak. Toronto had like about 16 in
a
row.
They had a big game, 17 a long winning streak. Yeah, Milwaukee's had.
It might have been, you know what?
Milwaukee. Because their streak just got broken.
No, I'm talking about the one early. They was on
but, I mean, Milwaukee, by the Heat. Milwaukee's still 9.5 over Toronto for first, so they already
what
got locked in.
What are you at, 9 losses right now?
Yeah, 9. 53-9.
The Heat is my sleeper to come out of the East.
Really?
And I think it's Kwan's too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Pat Riley, Sneaky Pat, has those guys. He has the right guys playing hard for him. And if you look at some of those acquisitions that they got in Iguodala and Crowder, just some toughness along to go with Jimmy Buckets and Dragic.
He needed it too.
That Miami team is dangerous.
He needed it too.
Dangerous.
And Shaq had to find out the hard way with the Brazilian.
Oh, that hairline.
The bet he lost to Dwayne Wade. It is. And he said he wanted to keep it all year round. Then he tried to say on Instagram that it was his hair, and he swiped it, and then you saw the dye on his finger. First of all, your hair doesn't grow that fast in a day. Let's keep it a buck. To have a shadow like that freshly lined in the mid-top part of your head. Yeah, pretty much.
Yikes.
Pretty much. That was terrible.
It was funny, though.
I thought it was hilarious, too. Shout out to him.
Real quick, so you brought up Miami. I mean, and you said Riley. So are we in agreement that Spoelstra's not a real coach either?
No.
I'm just saying. You said Riley.
Riley didn't make the trade.
Spoelstra had a plan well.
Let me go ahead and rephrase what I said yesterday. Well, not rephrase, but I'll tell you exactly what I said yesterday on Let the Ball Bounce Sports Talk Radio Show. I said
every
that,
Tuesday, 6 p.m. West Coast time right here on Gorilla Cross Radio.
Yes, shameless plug.
I said yesterday that Coach Spo does not get enough credit. The guy goes in every year, should be in the conversation of Coach of the Year, of what he's dealing with not a lot of star power in Miami, but he has those guys playing hard. When they had the super team over in Miami and they lost that first year, they were on his neck. But he is an actually great coach. He's been in the film room for over 17 years.
Oh, yeah, that's Pat how he learned
Riley,
to coach.
Pat Riley,
yeah, Pat will,
as long as he is alive, will not get rid of Spo
not.
Because that is the best coach for that organization.
Yeah.
Spo's my guy. I love Spo.
I see how you lit up like a Christmas
Spo's
field.
My guy. So, with that being said, the reason I say Pat Riley is because he's the puppet master. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that will go out and get these blue-collar, hard-working NBA guys that other teams don't want, like a Jimmy Buckets. And we all owe Jimmy Butler an apology because when he went over to 76ers, we all said that Jimmy Buckets, nobody can play with him. His attitude is bad. He's going to poison that team, blah, blah, blah. But look at what he's doing over in Miami.
Yeah. No.
He wanted to be there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
I
the
agree
thing
with
too.
You on Coach Spoelstra. Well, so, going back to what you asked earlier. So, Coach Spoelstra or Steve Kerr, who's the real coach?
Coach Spoelstra all day.
Yes. Thank
but why?
You. I agree.
But why?
His X's and O's.
Yeah.
His attention to detail. His subbing, his knowing how to manage the
with
game
the few
with
talent,
the
without
few
talent
on
that
his
he
team.
Has.
Because I have simply watched the Golden State Warriors, and this
win
is no
without
knock.
Without Steve Kerr,
yes,
off
and
of his back injury, doing the same consistent thing, having stars. Sorry
and,
to cut you off. No, I'm passionate
and,
about
and
this.
I, yeah, and I've seen Steve Kerr tell his team, "You guys go ahead and coach yourselves."
So, yeah,
we were winning.
Still got a coach.
Okay,
but, real quick, Miami doesn't have a sorry team. So you said Spoelstra with minimal talent.
Well, he got Jimmy Buckets,
team.
And then who else?
Bam Adebayo, who was an All Star.
Okay, that's
a lot
new.
Of other players.
That's new.
previous to that,
Duncan,
to that.
A rookie.
And before
Leonard, Miles Leonard, come over from Portland.
Dragic has been a solid point guard forever in the NBA.
Dragic,
he's been
this
solid
year,
forever,
this
bro.
Year, bros, Dragic is just now starting to play a lot better. Last year was injury riddled, and the year before that, he
that
didn't play
good.
That dude
was one of the most coveted free agent point guards for a while.
He was, but for the past. But for the past 2 years, he hasn't been playing up to what we've known to see Dragic play.
But he's still been balling.
This year. And I give him that. Because now it's all coming together. But what I'm saying is, this team doesn't have a three-star.
Yeah, but you can't get mad at Steve Kerr for having three stars and winning
no,
with them, though. You
I'm
know what
not.
I'm saying?
No,
so,
it's not
but
that
I don't
I'm
think
mad,
you can compare.
See.
You can't compare, like, he's a good coach and he's not because he had three stars. Because right now, he's been winning some games with a G League team.
Who?
Steve Kerr.
Some games. Yeah, they only got, what, 9, 10, 11 wins?
They got like 12 or 13, but still the
we
fact
have 14
is.
14 wins
got 14.
To be exact.
Yeah.
14.
14. Yeah, 14. Yeah, 14. But the fact is.
When last time Spoelstra had 14
players,
wins?
Is you, it 2 in a row?
Name five active players on the Warriors.
He's in the East, too.
Fish. How you say his name? Fishgal?
Pascal.
Jordan Poole.
Draymond.
Lee. You got Lee. No, I want to give the other dude.
Oh, the other dude. Okay.
Yeah, Damian Lee.
They got Dragon Bender now. You got Wiggins.
Has Wiggins been?
Yeah, he's been playing.
Yeah, he had 22 points last night.
He played last night. He balled out last night.
He had 22 points last night.
Don't hear.
Kwan, you said five, right? I gave you five.
Okay. Don't usually hear that.
Hey, you said active. You ain't say started. You just said active.
Kevon Looney.
No, he injured. He's not active right now.
Well, he must have just got injured.
Last couple of games, he hasn't played.
Yeah, he's...
So then do we throw Tim Duncan in the conversation? Because he was acting coach last night for the Spurs.
Okay.
And what do we think of that? Because he did admit that he really wasn't coaching, that he was just kind of
I like the fact that he was candid and he was
Hammond,
honest about it.
It was you know, shout out to Becky and all of them kind of doing a collaborative type of coaching.
Yeah.
Do you see him in the future? Because when Pop got kicked out of the game back in November, he appointed him to take over and be.
And it was the same situation. Him and Becky.
I think the NBA needs a Tim Duncan, his personality. Okay. We've been so used to seeing Tim Duncan being quiet, really just really silent when it comes to basketball. But he is highly in the conversation as probably the best power forward of all time, right? And we just have not seen a lot of personality from here. I think last night was the first time that I actually enjoyed to see Tim Duncan with a little bit of personality. And I was like, whoa. Ooh, I think this dude would be pretty good.
Yeah.
And so I would say yes. I think the NBA needs that.
All right.
Kind of like the same thing with Kobe. You know, Kobe had a domineering type of personality when he played. And then when he got done playing, we saw another side of Kobe Bryant outside of basketball.
Right.
And I think that's what fans that who weren't his fans needed to see. And that's what the NBA needed to see. And I think that's what his family and his kids needed to see, was that he was going to dedicate his time towards the youth and giving back. And so I think the NBA needs to see Tim Duncan involved.
Well, we are about to wrap up our show. I thank Dre Bailey from Let the Ball Bounce for coming on to be a gracious co-host with me.
Anytime.
We had great talk. I thank Kendall Murphy over here for being such a great host.
Thank you.
D for coming in and joining us on our chat. So it's like girl chat with guys sports.
Yes.
Maybe that'll be my new thing.
Well, thank you for having me.
Shout out also real quick to Cynthia Sint Marshall, the current CEO, first black female CEO of the Dallas Mavericks, who was also the first cheerleader for Berkeley. She attended college.
Nice.
So shout out to her on our Girl Power. Shout out to Mel for calling in. Shout out to everybody that tuned in tonight. Kendall Murphy, is there a social media where people can follow you?
At K Murphy PGA.
And that's on
everything. Social media platforms.
Okay. And Dre, where can they find you?
Let the Ball Bounce at Sports Talk. Let the Ball Bounce Sports Talk Radio on all social media platforms.
And that's Let the Ball Bounce with one T.
That's on Twitter. We're on Twitter. Let the Ball Bounce, and that's with one T, man.
Andy, we could just find you behind your center shades, or where can they find you?
It's Sunglass Hut. Sunglass Hut.
it's D_thevegan.
Okay.
Yes. Instagram.
So we'll have to have D back on to talk to us about his vegan lifestyle here.
Vegan.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, just had some pizza.
You've been over to Simply Pure with my girl Stacey Dugan over
there. He has not. I've been telling him.
Yeah, you got to go.
He's
got
to go. That's a staple.
Try the vegan nachos, bro.
That's a staple. Well, we're out of here, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know where to find me. You know where to find Mel up in Seattle. And we out.
Thanks for checking out another episode of Girl Chat Sports. And remember, we don't have balls,
but we know how to cover them.